Lindsay Wolf, how are you?
I'm great.
You're not feeling nervous at all, are you?
A little bit.
That's okay. My dad doesn't mind. So what chapter are you doing?
I'm doing chapter 14.
Okay, you ready to go?
I think so.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Ready.
What a disgrace. I finally get an answer right and fucking Fittipaldi has a heart attack. Mr. Fittipaldi still had 3 more questions and he had no intention of dying before he spat them out. Jeff and Sappho were a competition in themselves, except for the competition was for who was stupider. Melanie was more than one chiclet short of a full box. Finally, Mr. Fittipaldi, tired from too many tacos and a heart attack, righted himself. What the fuck just happened? He was a gritty bastard. We've always had students who are sensible and salient at this science curse-off, but today, every goddamn one of you sons of bitches are fucking brilliant! And then he held his head and a cooked groggy. That doesn't make sense.
Just keep going.
What did I just say? You said you were a stupid son of a bitch, Sappho protested. You said that toads pray to God. You said that comedy is 8/15 tragedy. But Mr. Emerson Fittipaldi refused to listen. He didn't have to listen to a baby crying about her bottle. I'm head jeev at this science curse-off, and I don't have to listen to anyone, Mr. Fittipaldi declared. This college isn't celebrating the time-honored science of cursing again until either the students get a fucking clue. I get some angioplasty, or some of you motherfuckers start answering the goddamn questions. Most of the students, teachers, and parents started running around the auditorium quickly and indiscriminately. But not my parents. My parents just sat there, staring at his face. First, I had lowered myself even coming to this stupid college, and now my parents didn't know that I existed. I couldn't come up with anything that would convince them that I did. No one said nothing. But everyone had stopped moving around like manzanita bushes. Then Dad broke the silence. I don't think I could ever say this enough. You are a freak, Al, he said.
Doing great.
I'm a freak like Galileo's a freak, right? I mumbled. You think that he and I are punk asses, but brilliant punk asses, right? Dad ignored me. But I'd rather someone bust a cap upside your head than hear another dipshit. I also would rather bear the winter of my discontent than hear the jackass Fittipaldi even one more time, my mom said. But some of those kids just can't sure talk bad words. One of them tried to curse me out while I was praying. Just a total dumb shit. Michelle actually had a brilliant summation of the science curse-off, my dad woke up and said. She said you were nervous and a bit self-serving because you started saying that you would be able to fly if only you could sip from the fruit of the loom. Evidently, Al believes all of that hoo-ha. What? I didn't even believe that we had a front door to our house. Your father and I have to go to work, Mom said. First, we have to go home and think about all of this. Then we have to go to work late. And then we'll talk to everyone about everything. And then we'll come home. We have what some people call arachnophobia, but what I call the occurrence of tune, Dad announced. If you didn't notice, I disapprove of everything that is university, that this university, and even the universe itself stands for. The universe? He probably has never had sex, except for when he made me, Michelle, and my things. It was plain to see that my parents didn't know their cars from a marching band from a case of Hasta La Vista. It was like they lived at a pick-apart audio yard. Fuck.
It's okay.
Auto yard. And all they could find were tires. And there's no front door. I was tired again, this time because I had missed Freaks and Geeks. My segues and parsimony principles were beginning to have a life of their own. Despite being tired, despite being picked apart, and despite continually being pushed until I screamed, the door was amazingly there and open. I gulped and regulped and reopen the trapdoor to paradise. I regulped. Paradise made my heart beat even faster than I could bear. The sound was so loud, I'm sure I'd never hear the door if it reopened. What would I do if it reopened again? I'd probably try to run back into the house before they put out the camel. Instead, Gordy walked in like the prodigal skunk come back to piss me off. I could see what a mess we had made tonight. There was a photograph of a pair of panties in the porta potty. I stared at my name on the program. Instead of spelling Sterner with an S, they had spelled it with venison and used a tire and then wrapped it all up in saran wrap. I couldn't have cared less about that, but my picture was in Technicolor, and my fangs had been destroyed, just like my life. I couldn't look, I couldn't think, and I couldn't open or reopen the door.
Right.
Mr. Emerson Fittipaldi looked like a furry goose to me, and my science teacher, one Mr. Gosling, had probably been too humiliated to show his kisser, and my parents thought that the sun revolved around our house. I didn't want to think about or look at that dingbat Michelle when I knew she was sitting in a padded room with an Etch-a-Sketch counting chickens. But what was worse than all of this was, I don't know where my fangs were. I had lost my fangs. Since when have I been so wrapped up in myself that I didn't realize how stupid I was? I asked myself. I decided I didn't want to sit here thinking, and I didn't want to yell. I didn't want to think what my Protestant... No.
Podiatrist.
I didn't want to think what my podiatrist would say if she knew I had destroyed my fangs once and then again. I didn't want to think about it all because I wouldn't be able to remember what I had thought anyway. Sorry.
That's it.
Sorry, I messed up.
Sorry, that was great.
Okay.
Thank you.